Talk to him. We're just two unapologetically black women with an opinion who talk back.
Hey, hello, mama. Let me whisper in your ear. Tell you something good you might like to hear.
Got a sexy ass body.
Oh, I
know. That ain't what I like to hear. I like to hear, I'm about to come pay your rent.
Wait till I pay your rent.
And
I'ma eat that pussy up.
Yeah. That was good.
You need me to pay your rent?
Yes. Hey y'all. Welcome back to a new episode of We Talk Back. It's your girl AJ.
Hey. And it's me, Tam Bam. Hey y'all. I love y'all.
Oh, you love everybody. You love all the hoes.
I love all my hoes and hoettes.
How you feeling, Tam?
I honestly feel like shit right now.
Mm.
I know. I was feeling so good. It was my birthday weekend. I was outside, and that might have been a mistake because now a bitch can't breathe through her nose.
You might just have a cold.
That's what
everything is not COVID. Listen.
How was your weekend?
My weekend. I didn't do much. Y'all, I've been really learning how to do option trading. I don't know if anybody out there, any of our listeners are in the stock market like that, but I've always been in the stock market. But bitch, I didn't learn how to option trade. And if anybody interested, hit me up. But
I'm interested,
I really just
bitch.
Been, yeah, man, I really just been looking at fucking stock charts all weekend and understanding trends and all that type of shit. So that's what I've been doing. Making money.
I'm not mad at that.
Bitch.
Oh, wait. You also lost a family member, and I'm sorry. I just want to tell you I was sorry.
So I lost my dog, Bella, last week, y'all.
R.I.P.
My
Bella.
My whole kid. Bella.
Sweet little baby.
Bella James. I had to put her down. And I'm still debating, and I hate to say put her down. I had to put her to sleep because she got extremely sick. All of a sudden, within a week. And I just feel like I want to pull up and, I don't know, like, do a drive-by on a fucking vet. Because this nigga ain't called me back yet. And I called him since last week, Tuesday, and I ain't get a call back yet. She was there the week before. Mm-hmm. He prescribed me some medicine that he probably should not have based on the vet that she ended up at. And I told the receptionist, like, hey, I had to put my dog to sleep today. Can you have the vet call me back? No call back. So y'all know I think I'm a fucking lawyer, right? So I already drafted up a demand letter. Bitch, you're going to pay me for my pain and suffering because I have been suffering the last week. Like, for real, for real. Like, I never knew I could be that sad about
an animal.
My dog.
You. Yeah.
I've had my dog since he was this little. As little as my hand. 11 years old. That's my fucking kid, dog. And I feel like somebody took her from me. So, and if she was suffering, so I didn't have no choice because I would be being selfish if I would
to
just
keep her here.
Yeah, if I would just let her. She was barely breathing properly. She wasn't standing up. Girl, that shit was rough.
That's not rough.
I want to put up on a vet. And I have yet to go pick up her remains because it's sad.
Yeah,
I might go today because I don't want to get there one day and they'd be like, oh, we threw it out because no one ever came. Like, what? Now I got to knock over every fucking thing in y'all office with my forearm. Like, so I'm trying to avoid violence. I ain't turned the switch on. I ain't hit the violence switch yet. But I really feel like fighting somebody but my fucking dog because I don't think I'm going to feel good until.
Don't fight nobody.
Yeah. So I have had
think
a
it out
rough...
in a positive way.
How?
Go to like a boxing class or go to that place I'm going to next week where you go and you break shit. I'm going to
I seen that place in Charlotte before. I do want to go someplace.
You should
like
come
that.
With me. Come up here. Well, come to meet me in Columbia. We can go break shit together.
And
instead
I have
of breaking
boxing.
A nigga face because that's what I want to do.
All right. So for this week's dumbass internet shit. We just like to talk about some of the current events, things that we are seeing online, because, you know, it's just social media is a big part of everybody's fucking life. Just want to talk about a couple of things. So Keisha Cole's mother just passed away. Frankie.
R.I.P. to Frankie.
Yeah, man. And Biz Markie passed away. Like, this is a rough year, dog.
R.I.P. Biz Markie. Every year been rough. Every year, rough year since 2019.
Sending a lot of love and light to Keisha Cole, man.
Yeah. And Neffy and all them. She had a lot of kids, man. It wasn't just Keisha. It was a lot of them, man.
You know, it's tough. You know, Keisha Cole's mom was on drugs for a very, very long time. And they're saying that she overdosed at her birth, on her birth, basically.
Yeah, having a good time. Mm-hmm.
Also, bitch, this fucking fentanyl. I even heard they put, somebody has been putting fentanyl in goddamn marijuana. So you better be careful who the fuck you buying your weed from out here. Like, what is happening?
Fentanyl in the marijuana?
Yeah. What? It causes people to die, essentially. It's been causing a lot of people to OD. So I'm thinking, I'm wondering, I don't know what type of drug she was on. They've been putting fentanyl in the heroin. So you shoot that shit up, like, you don't really have a high survival rate. So I don't know.
What are we going to do about drugs in our community? What can we do?
Well, I know in, is it Utah? They basically done legalized every drug. I don't know what that really does. I know since the epidemic and the opioid epidemic and the methamphetamine epidemic has hit the white community. There's more treatment centers for them now because it's being a medical issue. Exactly. Essentially, it's being handled as a medical issue now. So that's one thing, as opposed to, you know, addicts being treated as criminals for being sick. Essentially,
you have if you could be white, would you?
No, I don't want to. I mean, I would
be
want
white. I'd be white right now.
Really? Did it do what? That's like, what's the movie?
Have all
what's
that privilege.
What's the TV show?
Lovecraft Country that got nominated for 18 Emmys and still they canceled it.
You know why? Because they're exposing black magic.
Yeah.
They're exposing the magic that black people have, but that pineal gland is so calcified, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never be able to tap into it. Yeah, I know. That's why we can't have certain conversations, bitch.
You know what the fuck you talking about?
One day you're going to know, and then you're going to be like, girl, such and such. I'm like, yeah, girl. Now we can have a conversation, because I am not the type of person with the big-ass ego who want to go around and beat my belief systems into people. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. So whenever you
Just explain to our listeners what you mean by the pineal gland being calcified.
So
whatever you said.
There's a lot of things that's being put in the food. It's like your third eye, essentially. You know what I'm saying?
So you're saying I need to align my chakras.
Yeah, that could be a part of it. You know, because what I notice when having conversations with certain people, especially based on like the type of foods they eat, the conversation kind of be more aligned with my beliefs. Like people who are on more of a, to me, this is what I've been noticing. People who are on more of a plant-based diet, the conversations be different. Like we kind of have the same thoughts as opposed to people who consume a lot of pork, beef and shit like that. Is like they don't see the same shit we see somehow. So no, I attribute it to the diet. I attribute it to the diet. Why? Because, you know, especially if you eating pork, right? We going in a whole some whole other shit, but let's just go ahead and go there right quick. If you eating pork, unless you eating wild boar, like you shot that wild hog in the middle of the fucking forest, like pigs that they keep like on a farm to kill and slaughter, like a slaughterhouse, they release a chemical because like a chemical, they release this chemical into the meat, like when they're scared. So if they're killed in that way, and then you're ingesting that meat, you taking on all type of stress that pig was going through when it died. I really believe that you are what you eat. That's where that whole thing comes from.
So you feel like I got the pork chop sandwich I had over the weekend, strength level?
Yes, damn. Bitch. And like,
well, he must have been mad. He was magically delicious. So I don't know what his stress level was when he died. But thank you for giving your life.
Bitch, I had a pork chop sandwich since I was like 10 years old.
Damn, you missing out.
Maybe. But my problem, bitch, I love bread. And sugar, which is still some man-made bullshit.
Do you know especially sugar white used to sugar. Be illegal?
It should be. It's like crack because I like baked goods. I like sweet stuff. I like chocolate. I got a whole problem, child. And ain't nothing wrong with the chocolate, but it's like the sweetener, the sugar is the issue. But yeah, so look, the line with the crack in the goddamn black community, all the shit we addicted to in the black community. I don't know what we can do about. Definitely passing more legislation is not the fucking solution. Passing legislation on people going to jail for drugs and shit like that. No.
That don't help shit.
It doesn't. So the treatment centers, that's a one way. Intervention from family members. We got to really, be a family. For real.
But here's how black people handle our family drug addiction. They grown. What I'ma do?
Mm-hmm.
Until they die, then they got on the t-shirt crying, remain one hollering.
I know. Hope they got life insurance on them.
Right.
That shit is magic. Crack especially is magic. Like, that shit was a party drug during our parents' time. Mm-hmm. And then, you just sitting at a fucking party and somebody be like, hey man, try this shit. Mm-hmm. Now you just strung up for the rest of your life.
Right.
That shit is magic.
Unless you can beat it.
A lot of people don't beat it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you got to love yourself. I don't have an addictive personality aside from sugar, food and shit.
I'm addicted to marijuana.
You may not be addicted to marijuana. You may be addicted to how you feel.
Same thing.
You feel better. Is it the same thing? If something else can make you feel how the marijuana feel, would you still smoke?
Then I'd be addicted to that too. As well.
I like brownies. I don't like that smoke in my fucking lungs.
So. I don't like edibles.
I do.
Because see, when you smoke weed, you go up and then you come down. And on edibles, you go up and you stay the fuck up for six hours.
Well, that's
hours.
Why I only do any drugs right before I'm about to go to sleep.
What's the point in doing it before you go to sleep?
I do it to go to sleep. I don't want to be high during the day when I got shit to do. I'm not going to be productive. Some people, you could produce. I can't high.
Yeah, I just can't. I don't want to stay high. I know eventually I'm coming down if I smoke, and it'll be soon. But with eating that shit, I remember one of the guys who works in my building, he gave me a liquid marijuana, right?
Or like
it was
a
like
dab.
A juice. It was a juice.
Oh, okay.
And it was a lemonade. So he didn't explain to me that I should just take a shot of it. He didn't express that to me. I guess he just assumed with me being such a connoisseur that I knew, but I didn't know. So I drank it with my sandwich on my lunch break. And baby, I couldn't even come back to work. I was sitting on the floor Indian style, crying, freestyling to instrumental beats on YouTube, bitch. I was fucked up in here.
Bitch, it made you creative. Wait a minute. You could have been the next Meg Thee Stallion, bitch, on the weed, on the juice.
No, it wasn't good. It was terrible.
Shame. But some people smoke weed. They say it makes them more creative. So maybe that's
I do feel like I am more creative while I'm high, but I don't like to use hot tools and scissors around people while I'm on drugs. So it doesn't work in that realm.
Right. Shame. So
again, we went from don't do drugs to here's the drugs that I do.
Such is life.
Oh goodness. That's all I do. I don't fuck with nothing else, like no lean or no pills or no none of that. Just weed. We come from the earth.
Weed is good. I just don't like how the fuck these people trying to profit off of weed at this point. No, but I guess that's the whole thing surrounding it. When it's to the other side, they change the rules,
Right.
Now they making billions and we can't even find an entry point
right
into the weed business. Who else I want to talk about? Britney Spears, bitch. It's Britney, bitch. What the fuck do you think about that conservatorship bullshit? Could you imagine
I don't understand what it is.
Could you imagine somebody else having control over your life forever?
You mean like my mama? Yeah.
Well, it's her daddy. So a conservatorship is a legal agreement that gives a third party control over someone else. Like, how does the court assign somebody else to your fucking life?
Right.
It says they can be imposed they can be imposed only by a court, and only a court can terminate them. The person put in charge of the person's affairs is called the conservator or the guardian in some states.
So remember that movie that was on Netflix a little while ago where that white lady, and it was like, it was called I Care or something like that, or I Care yes. for You. And yes. she was in charge. She was, I guess she was a conservator for people.
Yes.
But she was the robbing their ass blind.
I seen that shit, and they killed that dude, shot her in the head at the end. That was a really good movie.
Yeah, it was.
That was a really good movie.
So maybe that's what Brittany got going on. I was about to say something ugly, but I ain't going to say that.
Well, she need to shoot her daddy in the head. She won his ass in jail, though. She does want him in jail. Like, she's saying she's been abused, and basically she's been a sex slave from what she's saying.
To her daddy?
For 13 years. Maybe not for her daddy, but maybe he was pimping her out. Who knows? Like, you have control over somebody else's life. This is why she wants to retire. This is why she no longer wants to be an entertainer, and she hasn't been entertaining because he's been profiting off of her life and likeness for the last 13 years because he has control over her. I guess once you become, are you bigger than life at that point?
Like, what do you mean?
She's still her, right? She's still Britney Spears, but her likeness is actually now bigger than her mm-hmm. actual physical. You see what I'm saying? So he mm-hmm. has control over
her brand,
everything. And it's just weird to me how.
And what's going on? Why the court won't let her be in charge of herself? Is she not mentally capable? That's, I remember when she shaved her head that time, it was going a little off the rocker.
That could have been a cry for help. They could have been doing stuff to her even at that time. And then you shave your head off, so now you really appear crazy to the courts, and your daddy can just step right in. And you lost your kids to the dancer, backup dancer.
She don't have her kids?
So she lost her kids. Remember that her backup dancer, her name was
Kevin Federline.
Yeah. She lost her kids to him. That was the beginning of the shit.
Oh no.
She wants to have more kids, she said, but she's been forced by her dad to keep an IUD.
How do your daddy force you to keep
because
an IUD?
Because she no longer controls her life. She hasn't control of her life.
So how she went to the doctor had to put it in. So she could have just said, I don't want to go, right?
But you are no longer in control of you. That's why I don't understand what kind of system is that. So is that only for rich people?
I don't
resources?
Give a damn. My motherfucker said they got control over me. I wish you would put an IUD. Come try and put an IUD.
Or she might have put it in herself, and then they went and let her take it out. Maybe. But IUDs last for what, 10 years?
I don't know, but I don't know how one. That's possible. I had one of them shits put in my arm. And I had them take it out in 3 months. Mm. I couldn't pop my pussy the same. I was like, let me take this up. No, I'm joking.
Mean,
I still could pop it.
I'm going to say, when your arm. Wait, IUD goes in the coochie of the arm.
So what I had was, it's called Implanon, and it went in my arm. Mm-hmm. But my period stayed on for like 3 months straight. So I had them. So then they was like, we're going to give you a oral birth control to take with that. And I was like, no, I'm not. If this don't work, take it out. I'm not going to take a pill and have the shit in my arm. Hell no, man. Take this shit out of my arm. And that white lady, she left a hole in my arm trying to juke that shit out. It was disgusting.
That shit is not natural. Like, no. You got 45, 50-year-old women who've never experienced an orgasm for real. And they've been on birth control all through the teenage years and 20s and shit like that. That shit is stopping something. It's mm-hmm. stopping how your body is normally supposed to be.
Right.
Mm. I don't know. We can add that to the list of the pork and chicken and beef.
No pork sandwich.
No IUD.
No IUD. And no hard drugs. It's so crazy because I enjoy all those things except for the IUD, hard drugs, pork sandwich. And if you have and you eat a pork sandwich while you on some hard drugs,
bitch.
I'm joking.
No, you're not. No,
I've
you're
never
not.
Taken any hard drugs. All right, the closest thing I've ever taken is more than weed is I took a Percocet one day. It was my birthday. I was living in Europe. My friend was like, pop a perk with me. It'll be fun. Bitch, I was like in a coma on the couch all night. I ain't even make it to the club. Everybody went out on my birthday. And I was, when I woke up, I was nauseous. I was sick for 2 days. Fuck Percocet. I'd never take another one.
Shame.
I never did. It'll be fun, they said.
I did an Adderall before, and that just makes you want to get up and go. Like, I feel like I need that.
Adderall, I don't feel like Adderall is a recreational drug. Adderall is like a...
It makes you focus.
Yeah.
It makes you focus. Like, I probably need
anytime
that.
Anytime I took an Adderall, I would want to, like, all right, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to clean my house. I'm going to fly to Africa and save the children. I'm going to come back and reform the healthcare system. I'm going to... That's how it was.
You know who be on a lot of Adderall? White kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they asked be excelling in school.
Mm-hmm. It's like the, what was that movie that came out? Limitless.
Yes.
That's the closest thing to a limitless pill that we have.
I might need to try to see if I can get a prescription. Like, I just can't focus. I just can't. Bitch, I'll fuck around be a millionaire by December. Because my brain be everywhere. My brain be everywhere to where, like, I don't start shit. Because my brain is just like, okay, you need to do this. You need to do that.
Scatterbrain is what it's called.
Exactly. So I'll pick one thing. Yeah. So before we get into the topic, because we just been rambling, bitch.
That wasn't the topic.
Shit. Let's do a dumb bitch story right quick.
You know what we should do real quick?
What?
Let's pay some bills.
All right, so today's dumb bitch story comes from one of our Instagram listeners who would like to remain anonymous. She says, hi, I would like to remain anon, but I need some dumb bitch advice. So I met the guy I'm with through one of my other guy friends, so I thought it was a solid hookup, but I think this nigga is homeless. I've never really had in-house dick, and it's been nice. But he's been at my house now for 2 weeks and I don't know how to get him to leave. I like him and still want to deal with him, but I was under the impression that he had his shit together, really. I actually know the IG of the girl he was with before, and I almost want to message her to see what's really up with him. What should I do?
Well, first of all, how old is this child? Because how you can't get a motherfucker to leave your house? Ain't no way a nigga stay up in my house for 2 weeks without me being like... Now, the first night, if I wanted him to stay, okay. But then the next morning, I'd be like, so what you about to do?
Right. Easy peasy.
Because you got to get the fuck up out of here. I got to go to work. I got shit to do now. So adios, amigos.
And like, when did y'all meet and when did y'all start fucking around? And why the fuck can you talk to... You want to message another bitch instead of just talking to the nigga that's right there in your house?
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
What?
For 2 weeks?
So this nigga just been waking up, washing, and going and coming back, and you want to talk to another bitch about him? What is happening?
Nigga, do you go to work? Do you got a job? Where you live at?
You got kids? What's your last name?
I want to go to your house.
Period. That's the easy way, bitch.
Oh, that's them submissive, very meek and mild mannered type women who are afraid to ask the real questions. Cause how you just have a nigga just sitting up in there for 2 weeks and you like, oh, I want him to go home.
And I also think it's a science for women. Is it really a science for a woman to figure out how to talk to a man and be able to ask what they want or ask questions at all? It's like a skill set that some women just don't have. They don't know how to speak up when it comes to men, especially when they're getting dick down. Because it sounds like if he been there for 2 weeks, she happy to just have a nigga there for the first couple of days. Now all of a sudden it done turned into, like, when are you going home? But you scared to ask him when he going home? Do you want him to go home? You want him to stay? What?
Right.
This aligns with our topic too.
He probably still laying up in there right now while we talking, eating up all your turkey sandwiches and shit. Girl, you tell the nigga to go home.
Is he drinking your kids' juicy juice?
Right. Little Nate mad as fuck. Ooh, what is nigga going home? I hate mama.
You so
kick that nigga out, sis.
I'm about to call my daddy.
Right.
Call your baby daddy. If you got one, call your baby daddy. You don't get about. But look,
call
black
Jody.
Women,
call
look,
Jody.
Not black women, but women, we need to stop putting men in the fucked up positions now. You got yourself in some dumb shit. Now you want to call your brother and uncle or somebody over there to assist.
Right. Because Snoop Dogg off parole and he's staying in your house kicking over your son's little fort in the living room.
Stupid shit. You gonna write me in front of my daughter? You gonna write me in front of my son?
Terrible.
Yeah,
tell that nigga to get out. He ain't got no job. He ain't got no money.
Sounds like she just wants to know if he can possibly even get out. Like, do you have someplace else to go?
Right. Don't message that other woman, though. Whatever you do, do not message that other woman.
Whatever you do, please don't.
She has moved on with her life. Her edge is growing back.
And he probably at your house because he can't go to hers no more.
No more, right.
Hobo sexual. So when is it time to leave a relationship? How do you know it's time?
When you spend more time frowning than smiling, it's time to go. But that's not something you can determine for anyone else when it's time for them to leave. Because you can talk to you blue in the face to another bitch about like, girl, you just need to go. But they ain't going nowhere until they good and goddamn ready.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, Tam. Let's pay some bills. So we said earlier is before you want to hit that nigga reset button. But before, if you feel like you want to put your hands on somebody, you should probably leave before then too.
No. If you really love somebody, you're going to want to kill them at some point in a relationship, right? I feel like that's normal.
Okay, keep going.
But if you start planning on how you're going to kill them and how you're going to get away with it, that's when it's time to leave.
Yeah, so when you start planning, that's when it's ready to go?
Yeah, when you start calling your homegirls and Googling how to kill a nigga and get away with it. Watching Viola Davis on how to get away with murder, writing down notes and shit.
How to dissolve a body.
Right. That's when it's time to go.
Yeah. So I think respect is definitely earned, but so is disrespect. So if you find yourself being like extremely disrespectful to your partner, if you weren't already like that, you're losing respect for them. Because it's just certain things like love won't allow you to say and do to somebody you're really in love with. So if you just start doing a bunch of stupid shit to the person you with, it's probably time to go.
Yeah, when you start telling other than your work husband about how much you hate your nigga at home, it's time to go.
Bitch, you stupid.
But you know, a lot of us, we stay long, long, long past time to go, you know?
Long past the expiration date.
Yeah, long past.
I think sometimes people just need a break also. It may not even be a permanent breakup, but that could be the reset though, to take some time apart and come back together. How about this? When you call my phone, like I always have a regular face, so I always answer laughing, right? It's always going to be a fun time when we talk to each other.
Right.
If every time your significant other hitting you up is like, what the fuck now? Like, you automatically get anxiety. Maybe, just maybe, you need a break. Or it just may be time to fucking go.
So, my father was here this weekend for my birthday. And he was saying that young people, we don't know how to stick it out. We don't know how to fight through the good time, the bad times. Like, mm-hmm. We just want instant gratification. And as soon as it starts being fun, then it's time to leave for us. He's like, y'all don't even stay on job. He's like, back in my day, niggas would stay on a job 50 years. Y'all leave after 30 days.
Damn right. We're not staying for abuse.
We're not.
Why do we have to? We got other options. I think we have options. We feel like we have more options now, and that's why.
But when it comes to our relationships, do we check out too soon? Especially when you've decided to get married and take the bitter with the sweet. Are we checking out too soon?
I have had 3 relationships in the last 12 years. 12, 13 years. Right? And I feel like I may have overstayed too long in at least two of those relationships. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You, the experience, obviously, like they say, is not like a, it's not really a loss, but you lose a lot of time being someplace you're not supposed to be. And you got a lot of signs that told you, hey, what the fuck is up? So 5 years, is that a little bit of time?
No, that's not a little bit of time. It just, I guess it just depends on the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Like, you if know. You learned anything from it, that type mm-hmm. of stuff. Yeah, I learned a lot of stuff from the relationships I've been in. I learned my likes. I learned my dislikes.
Your deal breakers.
Yeah. Boundaries, you know, mm-hmm. what boundaries I want to establish in the next relationship.
My daddy told me I wasn't going to never get nobody because of my mouth. That's what he told me over the weekend.
The damn postman here. He said, you're never going to get a man because of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. That's what he
so
said.
So I know, we always say men just want somebody who shut the fuck up. But I really believe like a strong man, they don't want that. They don't want, a real man doesn't want a yes man or yes ma'am. Somebody who just mm-hmm. never checks them when they fucking up. Nobody really wants that. That is that, that's not genuine.
Right.
So if y'all, I feel like you're a weak man if you want a woman who doesn't have an opinion and who can't check you when you fucking up. Like, I'm just supposed to just let you do. That's why I blame white women for a lot of the things that's happening in the world, because they sit back and they let their men do what the fuck they want to do, and they, you know, reap the benefits on the back end.
Because they want to do it too.
But we black bitches because we check people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they get to be like nice little timid because they don't say much, but they definitely do. They just may not do it publicly. So maybe we need to learn that.
I only punched my nigga in the face one time in public, and it was because
what? I ain't never hit a nigga in public, bitch. I ain't trying to go to jail.
I sure chin checked that nigga in public. He called me a hoe in front of everybody. I wasn't even doing nothing. We was at a club. We was all at the club, and we was in like the smoke section. My homegirl smoked Newport. So we was in the smoke section. And I mean, outside, you know, like outside on the patio. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was these guys just came over and was just chatting us up or whatever. And I was there with my nigga. It wasn't like I was like trying to pick up nobody. This is in Europe. So we're in London. They were like, oh, y'all Americans, yeah? Isn't it? You know how British mm-hmm. people talk. And we were just chatting, and he just saw some niggas standing there talking to us. Instead of just coming over and talking to, he's just like, you out here being a hoe.
That's you. Right? Like, that's a reflex, actually.
Yeah.
Did he start acting? How did he act after you hit him?
Reset.
You see button. The fuck I'm talking about?
Because I wasn't even doing the whole shit. Like, I'm gonna right. be. I have to talk to other humans in this world. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Yeah, that's the only time I ever hit a man in pup. Yeah, I think that's the only time. But now, see, then if he would have punched me back and then dropped me, then everybody would have been like, "Oh, he wrong for that."
So, okay, so I never just straight up hit somebody in front of people, but I definitely that smacked niggas in some cars before. I
remember while y'all was driving?
No, like parked, driving, yes. No, just both times we were parked. Two different people now, but this one in particular, I smacked one of my ex-boyfriends because a bitch was like stalking me on Facebook about him, right? Mm-hmm. And I pulled up to his job to talk to him about it while he was on break. And the nigga said something when he got in the, like, dog, I just smacked the fuck out of his ass, girl. When he got back into the damn job, must be, somebody saw me smack him, obviously. Somebody saw me hit the nigga in the car. And the person told, like, the supervisor, like, hey, man, somebody out there is smacking one of your employees. I smacked the shit out that nigga in the car, man. That's not funny, y'all. Listen, we are not condoning
you laughing.
Domestic violence.
You laughing, bitch. It's funny.
No, him having to deal with it. Oh, wait.
This wasn't, I don't know, is this considered domestic violence? Because I didn't physically hit him. All right. This is living in Europe. This, I mean, all my boyfriend stories are from there because that's the last time I had a nigga. But I worked in the hair salon all day, right? I was in the hair salon like 8 that morning. And then I left there at like 7 at night, went home, showered, ate, and then I bartended too. So I bartended till 4 in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. 3:30 I got off. And he was like, I can't drive home. I'm at so-and-so house. Come scoop me, right? So I was like, all right, but I'm tired. I've been working all day. So I'm going to let you know when I get close. I want you to come outside. So I called him once I got close, and he is like, all right, I'm coming. 10 minutes later, I'm ready to go home. What are you doing? I'm coming. Another, like, almost 10 minutes. He got me sitting outside for 20 minutes. So he finally came outside, and he had his cup in his hand, and he was, like, laughing with niggas out of the door. Ah, nigga, I see you later, bro. Like, everything all good, right? So I'm sitting in the car like this. I'm gonna fuck this nigga up when he gets in the car. So he gets in the car. And I was like, why would you do that? That's so rude. Like, I told you, I'm tired. I've been working all day. Why would you have me sitting out here waiting that long? He's like, man, chill the fuck out. I had to finish playing spades. And he had his little drink in his hand. He was taking it up to his lip. Before I knew it, I smacked that cup out his motherfucking hand. And liquor, Hennessy, and lemonade start flying in his lap or whatever. He caught the cup or whatever. He's like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I was talking shit like, see, motherfucker, you see how you make me act? I don't want to do that shit to you, but you disrespecting me, have me out here all this motherfucking time. So this, we pull up to the house because it's not that far. He literally could have walked, you know. I should have left his ass,
right?
So we get to the house and we get out the car. I'm still talking shit, and he hop out the car and he took what was left in the cup and threw it in my face.
It's time to leave.
And I was like, ooh, nigga, when I can see again.
Ooh. That's so toxic.
Girl, that nigga ran in the house and locked himself in the bedroom because he knew I was about to go to his ass. And then he climbed out the bedroom window and went walking back and had his homeboy pick him up from the street because he already knew I was about to take it to his ass.
So before it even gets there, what are some things that happen before it even gets physical that are indicators that you need to get the fuck up out of there? Because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of non-physical things that happen before you start putting your hands on each other and doing
a nigga who call you a hoe like for that. Standing outside talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Verbal abuse.
He used to, yeah. Anytime somebody is just disrespectful at the mouth. I know y'all New Yorkers, that's how y'all like to talk to each other, but it's not healthy. People from New York be talking, they scare me when they talk.
Suck my dick. Like, you got grown women telling grown men to suck their dick.
Suck their dick.
That is so disrespectful.
I be clutching my pearls.
Now, I did tell one man in life to suck my dick. So I found out my ex-boyfriend had a whole baby out here that I just found out about last year now. He's away in college, quote unquote.
Dad's in college. You don't even know.
But I really felt a way about it. Like, even though I don't want to be with him, and, you know, so I sent a message to his homeboy. I was like, listen, you talk to your fucking friend. You tell that nigga, suck my dick respectfully.
You can't suck dick respectfully.
I know, niggas like disrespectful head, don't they?
Yeah.
They like you spit on it. Yeah, so yeah, that's not nice. And I was trying to be blatantly as disrespectful as possible, especially because he's in prison. So how disrespectful is that to tell a man in prison that? I knew exactly what I was doing.
I don't talk to men.
And I
like
wanted
that.
To offend him as much as possible.
I don't I like, you a fuck nigga, I don't talk like that or suck my dick. That don't even sound right coming from
me. Yeah, it's terrible. It's actually terrible. Like that. That's the first and last time. Well, I won't say last. That's the first time I ever used the term.
I say shit, and this is what I'm working on, trying to be a better person, because I won't cuss at you, but I'll say some shit like, that ain't even your fucking baby anyway. You know, something like that.
Bitch, you be uppercutting people
with the truth.
And that's, you know, what? No, that might be fighting words.
That's
you?
Worse, though. Yeah, that's worse. Yes. Yeah, I'd rather you say suck my dick than tell me that my baby mama lied to me about my kid.
You straight just tapped that nigga in with that.
Yeah.
That's a tapping.
Yeah.
And, you know, because the podcast is, to me, is geared toward, you know, women our age, younger, mm-hmm. younger women, so they can just live vicariously through all dumb shit. Mm-hmm. It's just like knowing when to leave a situation that is not serving you. You know? Right.
I feel like these young girls are, you know, are growing knowing their value and adding tax, you know, mm-hmm. in a way that we did not growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we had like Trina's telling you like fuck five or six best friends, but she didn't say she was getting paid for it. These hoes is now at least they get paid.
Trina definitely was saying if she knew what she knew now, she'd be fucking by the time she was 10, cause she was getting money from niggas. Remember?
She'd be fucking by the time she was 10.
If I could do it all again, I'd be fucking by the time I'm 10. You remember that? And who's bad? The baddest?
Oh yeah, she did say that. That is awful.
Trina was definitely about getting that check up out these niggas. Like, I feel like listening to Trina when I was in high school, like, Trina really made me feel like, oh, these niggas better come with something if they want to fuck with me. Like, if you ain't have a car, lunch money for me.
I didn't grow up listening to Trina. It's so crazy because I'd be in the car with all my friends and the Trina song and everybody rapping all the lyrics. And I'd be like, where was I? I missed it. I don't know. The only song I know really was like, Pull Over That Ass Too Fat.
Who the fuck was you listening to?
I was listening to Jay-Z. I was listening to Nas.
Oh, you was
listening to Tupac. I was listening to Biggie. I was listening to
Nas. He was a Nas son. But yeah, I feel like a lot. We have a way more female rappers out now
mm-hmm.
than before, and all of them on the same. You know, get
they're
money.
All rapping about the same shit.
Fuck these niggas. Better had a check. Better if you want to see us, you know what? Get wet. Whatever.
That's not all the female rappers. That's just the ones that they allow to be mainstream.
Right.
There's a lot of other rappers out here. Like, what about Rhapsody? She's dope, you know?
I've listened to her music and I couldn't get in. She's from the Carolinas. I couldn't get into it. Oh, yeah, like yeah. I like her. I don't. Some people, I don't like their voice. Like, the delivery. The mm-hmm. lyrics and what they saying be sounding good, but I don't like the delivery of it. Like, that the young girl, Amaretta from Atlanta. Like, mm-hmm. I like what she be saying, but the delivery is annoying to me. Like, how her voice sounds, mm-hmm. the super-duper Atlanta dialect along mm-hmm. with it. It just sounds so forced. I don't know. I don't like it. Like, it's, you know, I'm from Charleston, so people be extra geeky, right? So it's like mm-hmm. listening to a song with a nigga rapping extra geeky. It's almost annoying. Like, what are yeah. you saying, nigga?
I don't even understand. But then maybe you're not the target audience.
I'm not. So I mm-hmm. listen, but I listen to what people say in lyrics. So I listen to the actual words, the what they're saying. But if I don't like how it sounds, I don't like the artist.
I feel like it's more females out here rapping than it is niggas now.
Hell yeah. But they all want some get money shit. Nigga better treat me like this, that, and a third. But we also know that they don't be, real Birkin. City girls outside.
I got a good pussy. You need to give me money. I got ice on my neck and my wrist, and my hair stay done. I'm driving a fly ass whip, and fuck you bitches, y'all haters.
And this body is on fleek.
Yeah, designer body, bitch. Go to him. You ain't go to my surgeon. You can't afford him.
That's it.
That's hey, every like, song.
And teeth nowadays. What's up with that? What is going on? So everybody go have, bitch, let me tell you, 100, 200 years from now, and they finding all of our, not 100, we'll say way further than that, what, about 500, 600 years from now, 1,000 years from now, and they finding our fossils?
Not even that far.
Fake ass, the titties, like, they go,
like
our bones gonna look so fucked up. They're like, what is this? Like,
right.
They had fake teeth.
Everybody had, all the women had little plastic bags that laid upon their breastplate. We don't know what the bags were for. Maybe this was something that they put in the casket to help them transition to the next side. There's these water bags right on the chest. We think it held them down and it tried to hold their soul down.
And they all had these bags Not that nice looking bags with them. Like these big square bags. It said Birkin on them.
In the casket.
In the casket with them.
We think these were offerings to the gods for when their soul transitioned.
Oh, how about this? How about this? Wait a minute. They had like some residue around the crowns of their heads. That'll be me.
Not just residue, because you could bury me in my wig, bitch. Don't take my wig off. Take me.
Apparently, a lot of them had hairdressed wigs things glued to their scalps. And cornrows underneath.
Right. Their real hair was cornrowed like Meek Mill. Meek Mill, fuzzy cornrows.
Yo, when we get old, bitch, we're going to be a lot of bad back, tattooed, still wearing eyelashes and wigs. We just going to be
bad-ass
looking crazy.
Granny bitches.
In the fucking church with sexy tatted on our neck. Like, bitches got face tattoos, dog. We gonna be right. Looking crazy and as hell.
We gonna look crazy, but listen, imagine what the kids gonna be looking like, though. We gonna look conservative.
But you know, if you look at our ancestors, like, you know how black people, girl, we all off topic, but we about to wrap it up in a second. But you know how our ancestors, when you see pictures of them, they had gold teeth. They had diamonds in their teeth. They wore mm-hmm. a lot of gold. Like, we always been a flashy people. Like, mm-hmm. like gold is like the masculine, supposedly, right? And silver mm-hmm. is the feminine. So back mm-hmm. in the Egyptian time, like, the men wore silver, women wore gold. And men can even wear gold like on their actual skin because it's a chemical that the gold actually releases. But we always been like this. We always moved to the music. We just got all this soul and spirit. Like, mm-hmm. it's just so tatted up, like face tattoos and all that shit. People been doing that. Tribes always been, and they call it the facing your body now, right? But mm-hmm. it's really not. It's really culture.
Right.
When you think about it, like people getting.
What about
face
that
tats.
Culture where they take the women, put these rings around their neck, and they mm-hmm. stretch their neck?
And find a beauty over there. Like, how?
I bet they could suck some dick when you're not that long. I bet you could suck the hell out of them.
You so fucking stupid.
Neck this long, nigga. What the fuck you gonna do with this neck?
You so stupid. Oh,
swallow that thing whole with this neck.
So, just to close out what our topic was about, you know, when is it time to really leave? I think we all know when it's time to leave. But again, like we said, people overextend
mm-hmm.
the relationship,
they stay long
the expiration date. You know when to leave. And I think, it, like you said, it's subjective to the relationship. But especially when it starts being physical, when it starts being a lot of verbal
abuse,
mental
when you
abuse,
no longer respect that person,
it's time to go.
Yeah.
When it's easy for you to
disrespect them,
it's time to go. Unless, I mean, I don't even want to say if you're just a disrespectful person, because if it's a woman who's just disrespectful, the man should leave her. So mm-hmm. he's not ending the relationship because he may be used to that type of disrespect. He might have been raised by a bitch. Who knows?
Right. Some niggas like it when you talk to them crazy. Some niggas like a ghetto foul mouth. Fuck you, nigga. You gonna eat this chicken motherfucking sandwich the way I made it, motherfucker. And you gonna be happy, bitch. Damn, I love that girl right there. She crazy as hell, bro.
She remind me of my mama. Yo. That's abuse. These niggas don't know abuse when they see it, man.
Mm-hmm. A lot of us have mistaken abuse for love because that's how we grew up.
Shame. My mom ain't never talked to me fucking crazy. Nobody never talked to me crazy. So when somebody talked to me crazy, I'd be like, who the fuck you talking to?
I know.
The fuck got me fucked up.
No, I didn't grow up in a house where my mom talked crazy. She did talk crazy, but not to us. Right. But around us.
Okay, so let's go into... Okay, let's go into our random sex facts.
Dun, dun, dun.
So this random sex fact is brought to you by meetmindful.com. So here's an interesting thing about contraceptives. Women who take hormonal contraceptives tend to be more attracted to men with lower testosterone levels and less super masculine physical characteristics, according to research. But women tend to desire overtly masculine men during their most fertile times in their cycle, and more likely to stray during this time as well. That time period is also the easiest time for women to reach orgasm. Let's break this down right quick. So they're saying women who are on birth control are attracted to men who are less masculine. Is it because the birth control thrives in certain hormones that make you less feminine?
Feminine.
So you're attracted to the feminine because you're becoming the masculine? Could that explain like the shit we be talking about on fucking Clubhouse right quick? Like the masculine women, women being more masculine. Being in a more masculine energy as opposed to being in their feminine energy, could birth control be the reason for that?
Perhaps.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Things that make you go, hmm.
Mm. And then it also says that women are more likely to stray. It says, but women tend to desire overtly masculine men during their most fertile times. So say, for instance, this is how that reads to me. If you're a woman and you're on birth control and you're with a man who's more of a less masculine man, right?
Mm-hmm.
During your times of fertility, you may be more attracted at just around that time to a more masculine energy.
Man.
Yeah, a more masculine man. What so the fuck?
Right now, you fucking a metrosexual kind of dude.
A beta male.
When you about to have your cycle, now you want to fuck DMX. So you fucking Kevin Samuels or your period, right before your period, you want to fuck DMX. Got it.
Sounds about right. But we really need to look into that, man, because that could really be, that's, you know, because a lot of women are on birth control. Mm-hmm. We already know Planned Parenthood is mainly in Black communities while white people got fertility clinics.
Mm-hmm.
So in Planned Parenthood is not just for abortions. Planned Parenthood is for Planned Parenthood. Like, so they give contraceptives, or if you're having a baby, they counsel you on that too. But birth control is a big part of Planned Parenthood.
Right.
So if a lot of Black women are on birth control from the time they started puberty, for the most part, because your mama be wanting to put you on that shit as soon as she think you about to be fucking. My mama didn't, but I know a lot of my friends' mom did. My mom saw it as a way, like, bitch, if I put you on birth control, that means you're going to be fucking without a condom, and that's not really what I'm concerned about. It's STDs more so than a pregnancy.
Right.
But that's a real thing. That's weird to me that they actually did a study on that. That a woman that's on birth control is more attracted to a feminine
DMX.
Man.
Oh, no. Kevin Samuels. Right.
Exactly.
Damn.
That's real interesting. So could that explain also more women?
So I want all
lesbians?
Y'all to look down on your pussy right now and analyze who you fucking and why you fucking them. It might be that implanon in your arm.
Even if it's a lesbian, even if you're in a lesbian relationship, could it be the birth control that push you towards that because you're not looking for masculine at that point? Or you could be the masculine and you're looking for the feminine because of birth control.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Girl, that shit is
fucking
wild.
Fucking with your XYXX.
Fucking with your chromosomes. That fucking with your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, bitch. That's some interesting shit.
Yeah, it is.
So we're going to wrap it up for the day. We ramble on and on and on. But here we are. And we made it through. And we thank you guys for joining. Every Thursday, exactly, on the iHeartRadio app or whatever the fuck you get your podcast at. Make sure you guys follow us on We Talk Back Podcast, AJ Holiday 2.0.
I'm Official Tam Bam. Hey, white people, don't forget to send us your Ask a Black Friend. Y'all getting scared? Don't get scared. Send us that shit.
Like, we do have one I would like to explore on our next episode. So we'll go into that. Then we'll plan around it kind of, sort of. But anyway, thank you guys for listening.
Bye.